Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Following the discovery of gold in the winter of 1851, Jacksonville, Oregon became a melting pot of races, classes, and cultures as ambitious individuals pursued the promise of riches. That's the description of the region provided by Historic Jacksonville, the organization that operates Jacksonville Haunted History Tours. Joining me on the JX is Carolyn Kingsnorth, president of Historic Jacksonville, Inc. Welcome, Carolyn.
Well, good morning.
So, Jacksonville's gold rush sounds like it attracted quite a diverse group of people to the region. How'd that turn out?
Well, it turned out very well for a while, let's put it that way. It was partially the gold rush that was obviously brought in the miners and a lot of the hanger-ons. But then there was also the donation land claims, the free land, and that brought in the settlers. And as a result, Jacksonville became essentially the governmental, commercial, and social hub of southern Oregon until the end of the century. And it stayed that way until the railroad bypassed it in favor of the Flatter Valley floor in the 1880s, and that's when Medford was born.
Oh, hang on. Let's hold it just right there. I want to go back for a second and revisit a point you just made.
Yeah.
You said the Donation Land Act.
Donation Land Act. What that was is a settler, after 1852 anyway, an individual could get 160 acres, a couple could get 320 acres for free.
Is this any individual, or is this specific to a race?
You had to be a U.S. citizen. The deal was you had to build a structure on it, and you had to develop it for 4 years. And then you could file your formal land claim.
So at the time, as I understand Oregon history, there were no legal availability for non-white individuals to access those kinds of benefits, right? So
there
this was just for
that
white settlers?
To, and I honestly don't know how. I know Eagle Point was founded by someone who did make a land claim. Some others were able to pick up the land claims. It's like the Chinese could not file their own mining claim, but they could buy an existing one after someone thought it had played out.
Gotcha. Okay. So this gold rush brought all of these folks here, and then the railroad, then Medford was born.
Medford was born, and then Jacksonville hung on to some of its prominence as long as it retained the county seat. It lost the county seat in 1927, and then that was followed shortly by the Great Depression, and Jacksonville became a backwater. I mean, it literally became the wrong side of the tracks. And that's also the reason, though, that all of these buildings were preserved. The owners couldn't rent them. There were only like 500 people living in Jacksonville at the time during the Depression. And so that's the reason we have our National Historic Landmark District.
And so some of those places are still haunted by
Most
the past?
Most of those places are still haunted.
Well, something that's haunted implies something horrible happened there. Can we assume that's the case?
No. Yes, in some cases. We have the stories range from the benign to murder, murder and hangings. But
yeah, those aren't good.
Those aren't good, but, a couple of people may have deserved it. but, yeah, some of them are very sad. It's just a whole mix, and I can tell you that most of the buildings are haunted. Some of the stories we don't tell, but that's a courtesy to the building owners. And there are also stories that we have that I would love to share, but that, we haven't succeeded in putting together a tour route that makes sense. As we stand right now, we have two different tours. One is what we call our courthouse tour, and that's a flat route that includes the historic county courthouse, which is now Jacksonville's new city hall. And That one we describe as brothels, epidemics, and hangings. And okay. Then we have what we call our Brit Hill route, and that is murder, arson, saloons, and Chinatown.
Oh, this is lovely. We should bring the kids.
You should. Actually, well, you know, we find that we do not recommend it for kids between about 3 and 8. But the ones that are studying Oregon history actually enjoy it and find it fascinating. The babies, they just fall asleep. So,
so what are some of the other places in Jacksonville that continue to carry these haunting memories of the past?
Oh, well, the courthouse is certainly one. The jail next door. A lot of the B&Bs, a lot of the commercial buildings. I'm quite serious when I say most of the buildings are haunted. I can tell you a few stories like these, and I should mention that these tours, they're not your typical ghost tours with special effects. They are history tours, and they are things that people have actually experienced and shared with us. A friend of mine was telling me that the house he lives in, it's historic, parts of it are, mm-hmm. and it was built by and occupied much of the earlier years by German families. And he had been taking a nap on his couch, and when he woke up, he looked over, and there was a young German boy in lederhosen standing there smiling at him. Yeah.
Well, I know that Halloween is approaching, but it's one thing to dress in playful costumes with kids and quite another to personally experience the haunting of old spirits.
Absolutely. And it's a whole range of people that have experienced these things. Like recently, we had the Jacksonville Chamber had its parade of inns, and at one of the locations where I was actually stationed, sharing some of the history, I was chatting with a psychologist who was revisiting the inn because she had stayed there some years earlier, and she said that she awoke in the middle of the night, and she saw a young boy who appeared to have been hanged, and a young girl by his side weeping, and she gave them permission to leave her. But we don't know if they left the hotel.
Oh, wow.
So, as I said, we have a whole range. We have, another story that, again, is another one of the B&Bs, but it was a residence for many years, and a friend who was house-sitting there. We had her young daughter with her, and it was a family that had lost a couple of children, and as a result, the mother was very protective of the rest of them. And so she said that, she would find the doors locked after she had left them unlocked. But at night, when she was reading bedtime stories to her daughter, at first she was joined by what she described as sort of a globe of light that just sort of hovered around. And over the, subsequent nights, more and more joined her. And they would sort of follow her down the hall after she finished reading, and she just got in the habit of wishing them good night.
Are you kidding me? How courageous does one have to be to live in a house that is haunted by spirits, and you just have casual conversations with them?
But, I guess at some point you start taking them for granted, and a lot, obviously, we depend on how benign they are. I think you could say goodnight to children. And we have some very playful children who are ghosts, who run up and down stairs, turn on and off light switches, move things around.
The mischievous ghosts.
The mischievous ghosts.
Well, give us a sense of what we can expect on the tour. Are there any friendly ghosts on it?
Well, none. As I said, this is history. These are no special effects. We don't go in any of the buildings because many of them are either they're closed for their commercial businesses, are their private residences, and they're closed for the evening. But this you get the stories. You get, as a result, you get a sense of what Jacksonville went through in terms of all the things that were part of life at the time. You did have murder. You did have arson. You had epidemics that killed many people. and that's the source of some of these ghosts. The stories really are a reflection of the times.
Well, it sounds frightening, but it also sounds intriguing. Thank you, Carolyn Kingsnorth. That's all the time we have for the JX today.
Well, thank you for letting me share. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. To learn more about the Jacksonville Haunted History Tours, you can click on the link on our website at jeffexchange.org. That's all we have for today. And you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Natalie Golay is our senior producer, and Zach Beagle is engineering our show. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore, and thanks for joining us. Have a nice day.